you're all anxious to hear what my message is this morning. So my message is called this. Karen has a last shaking, which I told her it was a last shaking, but I changed it. It's one last shaking. Everybody say that. One. One last shaking. The scripture that we're going to start with today is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 through 29. It says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven." Verse 26, "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven." Verse 27, "Now this, yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain." 28, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." And verse 29, "For our God is a consuming fire." The phase one last shaking means a thorough house cleaning, getting rid of all the historical and religious junk so that the unshakable essentials can stand clear and uncluttered. God is not an inactive bystander, but is torching all that needs to burn.
Yes.
And he won't quit. He won't quit until all is cleansed. Because God himself is a fire, a consuming fire. The scriptures began to talk about a time of shaking. And it went, when I think about the times we are living in and over the past few years, there would be words that I could describe it. It would be instability. It would be unstableness. It would be uncertainty. In this scripture, the writer of Hebrews is writing to Jewish Christians, an audience that was facing stress and persecution. Bear witness. They were in a time where their world was unstable. Their world was uncertain. Times were tough. Times were hard. The writer comes to encourage them in tough times. My assignment today is to encourage you and to push you forward, to give you the Word of God so that you can understand especially all the shaking that's taking place and that you have received a kingdom that shall not be shaken. Amen?
Amen.
So when you think of it, food, gas, inflation, all the corruption, unfairness, cheating, lies. When you think about all these things, regardless of these things that we've never experienced before, never have we ever experienced things like this before. But we have to remember that God's kingdom cannot be shaken. The scripture gives us a contrast. There are things that will be shaken, and there are things that won't be shaken. It says the kingdom of God is unshakable. Therefore, if it's not built on the kingdom, if it's not rooted in the kingdom, if it's not found in the kingdom, if it's not sustained by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, it will be shaken. Question this morning. Is your life a kingdom life? Is your life being built on the kingdom? Is your home being built on the kingdom? The way you treat your family, is it built on the kingdom? Are you treating each other the kingdom way? Because according to this scripture, the only thing that will remain and stand the test of time, which that is that which is built on the kingdom of God. And we have to understand this perspective about the kingdom of God. But let me say this, everything that has God on it does not mean it has God in it. Just because it says Jesus doesn't mean it's Jesus. We have to transfer from our lips to our lifestyle. Transfer from charisma to character. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. It's not what we say. It's about the power of God and the Spirit of God to alter, to change, to transform our lives. That we live a life not according to culture, but a life consistent with Christ. See, there are a lot of people who have a lot of say, but they don't have a lot of do. I'll say that again. There are a lot of people who have a lot of say, but they don't have a lot of do. Matthew 7, 21 to 23 in the Message Bible. I like the Message Bibles at times. Let's go deeper in the Message. Paraphrase this morning. Verse 21. Knowing the correct password, saying, Master, Master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. Verse 22. I can see it all now, the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me and saying, Master, we preached the message. We bashed demons. Our God-sponsored projects had everyone talking. Verse 23. And do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourself important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. You see, there has to be a consistency between my say and my do. And it's not just enough to say, but I want to look at your life and see some fruit. Say, but let's see the fruit. You just have to make sure that you have more than just say. Many just use his name. Throw his name around. Put his name on stuff. Writing out checks he didn't authorize for you to write. God doesn't pay for things he doesn't order. I found that out on the mission field. We have to make sure we are obeying his word. It's got to be his will, not my will. In Luke 22:42, the last part of it, B, in the Message Bible, it reads this way. Not what I want. What do you want?
That's right.
Sometimes, you know, I'm going to stop here. You know, sometimes people are afraid to say that to the Lord. Not what I want, Lord, but what do you want? You know why? Because we're afraid to what the Lord's going to tell us he wants. Because maybe it'll be more that he wants us to do, but we feel inadequate to do it. But he supplies whatever we need to get done, whatever he tells us to do. So not what I want, what do you want? Are you building your house, your life with shaking in mind? At some point in your life, you may experience a shaking. I'll bet you if I asked you to raise your hand, everybody in here would raise their hand that they experienced a shaking in their life. At any given moment, a shaking can happen. Shaking can happen because that's what Matthew 7:24 teaches us. And Matthew 7:24 to 27 in the New International Version teaches us about building our house on a solid foundation or building it foolishly. Verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Verse 25, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock, the solid rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. Verse 27, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great clash. We can say one is a hearer and one a doer. One is just a hearer only, but here's the thing. Both houses look the same. Amen? They look the same, and the same storm hit both houses, but there was two different outcomes. We've read this scripture over and over again. But let the Lord remind us today that there's always a different outcome. Everything looked okay till the storm or the shaking hit because it was shaking that revealed what they were made out of. I get it when you pray. And I get it when you say Jehovah Jireh when you have the money. When you throw your hands up and say, he's my healer. when you're walking in health. I get it when you say I'm victorious. But what I want to know is that your declaration when the doctor gives you a crazy report. Think about it. When the bank account says zero, it's only when the that's only when the shaking comes. It will reveal what we're really made out of and who we are really trusting. You know, many years ago, you know, I always have a story for you. Many years ago, my life was shook. I was 23 years old, and I went for a regular checkup, and they discovered that I had suspicious tissue on my womb. And I was just 23. I had my two boys, but I really wanted a little girl, and I thought, well, maybe we can have a little girl. But that wasn't possible. Because back then, the doctor said, you know, and we checked out, Roger worked construction at that time, and he went to different doctors and asked them, and my doctor said that the cancer grows faster if you're pregnant. So he said there wasn't anything that they could do but to do a hysterectomy. And we didn't know what to do. We didn't. And our life was shaken. Well, at that point, I probably wasn't walking with the Lord like today. But you know what? There was a trust. I trusted him. I trusted him. And had the surgery. I had just turned 24 years old. And I was in the hospital. And believe me, at times like that, you just want to run as far as you can to get away from the challenge, to get away from the problem. You just don't want to face it. So anyway, the second time is when I think you all know, because you really don't know my whole testimony, but I had a black spot on my arm the size of a pencil eraser. And I had it for a year. And there was one day, Roger, he stuck it with a needle. What is this? And we didn't know what it was, but, and the words of your mouth are so important because we went out to Las Vegas. Our son was in the Air Force. And he said, Mom, what is that? And I said, oh, it's my cancer. I know. You don't have to moan. So then I came back, and I knew the Holy Spirit led me to call a doctor. It was one of my doctor's friends. She was a Jewish doctor. And I made an appointment. I went in, and she said, tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, you be at Lehigh Valley Hospital. 6 o'clock in the morning, I went in. They put my arm up on a table, and they're taking all kinds of pictures. And I'm thinking, what? What? You know, the Bible says we can walk in childlike faith. Well, that's what I had the whole time because I didn't know why they were taking pictures or anything. And that very afternoon, I went in at 6 o'clock in the morning. By 2 o'clock, I knew that I had a 4.5-millimeter melanoma. And the doctors can talk together. And I had said, my husband doesn't have any insurance because we had a craft store and we had just sold that, went to Las Vegas to see our son, came home, knew that I had to go to the hospital. And I said, I can't do anything right now. I have to wait 3 months till my husband gets his insurance that they'll pay. Well, she said, one of the doctors said, it doesn't really matter because you won't make it. She said, you're going to die. What do you do? What do you do when you're healthy? Just like I feel healthy now. When you're healthy and strong and they say, well, I'm sorry, but in 6 months you're going to die. That was a shaking. But you know what? I had to stand my ground. I had to stand my ground, and I had to trust the word of God. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I praised God, and I praised God. And there were times, I mean, we moved. We had to move up in Palmerton, and that house was so full of zinc dirt. And I had this big bandage on my arm because I had had the surgery, and I had some help. But you know what? I kept praising Jesus for my healing. See, that's not an easy thing to do when they tell you you're going to die. But I did. So my life was shook to the core. But I believe God is raising up unshakable people in the body of Christ. Amen. That will stand firm on his word and declare, now please forgive me, and declare, come hell or high water, we will not be moved. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Oh, I don't want to get rebuked for that one. We have received an unshakable kingdom. You and I have received an unshakable kingdom. Colossians tells us that God has delivered us from the power of darkness. Let's look at it. Colossians 1, 13 through 14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his son, of the son of his love. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. How great it is to be born again and be transferred from darkness to light, from rebellion to righteousness, from disadvantage to advantage. I love the word transfer. The picture painted from that is not just an easy transition. It literally means to be snatched. You know, it's almost like when you had a younger child. Maybe some of you have a younger child or a grandchild. And they're walking along and they're not paying attention. And they are headed to walk right into the path of a racing vehicle. That's serious trouble. Serious trouble. And you snatch them back. They didn't realize the danger they were in. It took somebody to see something they didn't see to snatch them out of it. Away. Snatch them away so their lives would be preserved. So when it says you've been transferred into the kingdom of God's dear son, you've got to understand that whenever you prayed that prayer, whenever you bowed your knee and called on Jesus, there was a snatching in the spirit. He snatched you. That took place. The Holy Spirit snatched you. And remember, do you remember the time God snatched you? He snatched you out of sin. He snatched you out of addictions, situations that you should have died in. Because you have a Savior that loves you, he snatched you. He saved you. Why is the shaking so important? Because understand there's an end goal in mind. The end goal is to get a people who won't be shook when shaking comes. Sometimes God uses shaking himself. Sometimes he does the shaking, not the devil. God will use shaking for developmental purposes. He will shake you so he can sift you, shake you so he can shape you. When God allows shaking, it doesn't happen to you, it happens for you. It happens for me. We don't realize it when we are going through it. It doesn't seem like a good thing. It doesn't. It seems very painful. We have to understand God loves us too much to leave our lives cluttered and filled with chaos and confusion. Everything God has put down inside of us can be buried underneath things that really do not matter. Think of it. There are things in our life that really do not matter, but we make them matter. So God says, I'll allow shaking to bring separation. If you're taking notes, write that word down, separation. Amos 9:9 says this, for surely I will command and will sift the house of Israel among all nations, as grain is sifted in a sieve, yet not the smallest grain shall fall to the ground. Let me explain what he's talking about. When he's using shaking, it is things in our life that need to be separated. Amos was talking about a seed. It was the way they used to sift the wheat, or to get wholesome grain out of the wheat. You see, they would lay the wheat down on the ground. They would let the oxen trample over it to break it up, to crush it. And the oxen would go over and over and over and over to break it up and to crush it, to press it. They would then pick up the remains and throw it up in the air. And when they would throw it up in the air, the wind would blow it. The wind of resistance would take it to another phase of separation. And if that wasn't enough, when the seed hit the ground, they would put it in a strainer. This is my modern day strainer. They would violently shake it, and they would shake it, and shake it, and shake it, and shake it some more. This would be the last step. But what would happen when they would violently shake it? All the remains of the non-essentials would fall through the holes. You've got to get this. All the non-essentials would fall through the holes. It would fall through the cracks. And the thing that would remain in there would be the very thing that they could take to be the provision or blessing to people that would feed or nurture them. Some of you today may be a bit upset about some things that fell through your life. Can I tell you? It was good that it fell through. The reason may be why it fell through is because it wasn't God's best for you.
Yes, that's great.
Amen? It needed to fall through to bring separation. Sometimes separation from people.
Yes.
Many times we try to reestablish what God separated, even with people.
Amen.
Separation from situations and circumstances. Sometimes separation from mindsets and attitudes. Sometimes it's your separation that precedes your elevation. Think about that. In Genesis 13, it's a story of Lot and Abram's separation. It was after Lot separated from Abram that the Lord spoke to him in Genesis 13, verses 14 to 15. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Verse 15, for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. Perhaps there were things in Abram's life that he couldn't see as long as Lot was in his life. That's important because Lot's name means veil.
B-A-A-L.
Veil, a veil. In other words, as long as the veil was in Abram's life, perhaps he could not see what God had for him for the future. Could it be some of us have a lot to get rid of? Could it be some of us have veils in our life keeping us from God's best for our life? Ask yourself today, is there a lot that I need to let go of? Is there a lot that I need to get rid of? Because there is a lot God wants you to see, but you need to let things go so you can see what God has for you. Separation. Remember that word. God's exit strategy. Sometimes you have to say, thank you for the experience. Our time has expired.
Yeah.
Prioritization. I was practicing that word when I wrote it down. I thought, okay, how do I spell it? And then, well, how do I pronounce it? I'm not going to do it. Prioritization. I should have kept it the first time. Matthew 6:33 says this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Wishbone dressing. On the top, it says shake well. Can you all see that the stuff is settled on the bottom? Can you see that? Okay. It says, can you guys see this at home? Stuff is settled on the bottom. It says shake well. To taste correctly and to use it in the best way, it has to be shook up. There are things that used to be at the top that are falling to the bottom. When using shaking for prioritization, it means we have allowed things that were once a priority in our lives to settle on the bottom. See, when you shake it up, it blends in. It's perfect. It's perfect. When using shaking for prioritization, it means we have allowed those things that used to be a priority in our lives to settle on the bottom. Our family, our friends, prayer, motivation, Bible reading. These things have sunk to the bottom, perhaps. Maybe you're just too busy. Maybe that's it. You're just too busy. Going everywhere, doing all kinds of good deeds, but the most important things have sunk to the bottom. And God will allow times in our lives to allow the shaking to get things back in order. He doesn't want prayer to be our last response, our last resort, but our first response. He doesn't want those closest to us to be our last response while we are helping others. There are many needs all over. Prioritize those that are most important. Sometimes we have a problem with that. God calls things distractions. Distractions. God doesn't want us just to praise him Sunday morning. He wants our life to be a praise. He wants us to use a whole chapter in his word to learn. To learn how to live. God wants to be first priority in our life to the point we say to him, that we say to him, is it your will? Not what I feel. What do you say about this, God? What does your will say about this? What does God's word say about me living this way? I don't care what this culture say. Ask God, God, what is your will when I go to the polls? You know, we've been waiting for this for a long time. 2 years. 2 years of nonsense. And now it's our time.
Amen. Amen.
Now it's our time.
Amen.
I don't care what the culture says. Let's not care what Snapchat or Twitter or Facebook says. Let's not care what the fake news says. Let's not care what any of them say. We need only to care what the Word of God says.
Amen.
The Word of God says we are free people. So guess what? We need to vote for freedom.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
If you do that, you'll be able to stand the test of time and testify and unbeshaken. You can build your life on his word. Anytime you settle, you will always end up on the bottom. Anytime. God looks for those who don't want to settle. And today, I'm looking to destroy a spirit of settling in this place today. Amen? I know it's been crazy. I know that. I know we get caught up sometimes not knowing which way to turn. But listen, the pandemic is over. Hear me.
Amen.
The pandemic is over.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And we need to let it die.
Yes.
You know, when something is over, we need to let it die. Amen. It's like sometimes we hold things against people, or we think about the past, and we need to let it die. Just let it die. Stop thinking about it. Stop talking about it. Let it sink to the bottom. Stop shaking it up over and over and over and over. Let it go. Don't let any pandemic cause you to abort the promise that God gave you before the pandemic began. The promise God gave you is still intact. Don't start to settle. God loves you too much to let you settle. God has put too much in your life for you to settle. He loves you too much for you to settle. He's invested too much in you for you to settle. Settling robs the world of his contribution that he has placed within you. You have to shake that stuff off and say, I'm here on purpose. But you know, like I said, lip service. Say, say, say. Let's see the fruit. Amen?
Amen.
You have to shake that off. You have to say, I am here for a purpose. When you go to the polls, you're going to the polls for a purpose. I know we don't tell you how to vote here. But it's quite obvious that all of us as Christians need to vote the right way. And the other, on Friday, I talked to two people. And they said, we're not voting for anybody. We don't like this one, and we're certainly not going to vote for this one. Now, this is my thing. It's my thing. It's my opinion. And I don't want to get in trouble for giving my opinion, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yes, good.
I voted for President Trump in 2016. I didn't know what he was going to do. I just trusted him. I felt he was God's man. I voted for President Trump in 2020. He changed this country for the better. He did. He kept us out of war. That's a big thing. I voted for him in 2020. Now, he's saying these are the people that we need to have in office. If he runs again, or if somebody else runs again, these are the people that we need in office to keep us free, right, to keep us safe, to keep us prosperous. Gas is over $4 a gallon again. There was a man, and he's our neighbor, and his brothers have a trucking company. His bill went from $50,000 for the gas for those trucks that they run to make a living to over $100,000. So if I voted one way in 2016 and I voted them in 2020 and I trusted the man who changed our country for the better, then why wouldn't I listen to him as to what he needs and how the House and the Senate needs to change? Why wouldn't I listen? It doesn't make any sense, does it?
No.
So for a purpose to make a difference, you must have three things: separation, prioritization, and preparation. Preparation. The bottle says, shake well before using. Sometimes God will use shaking so you can get well. Many have been suffered from being upset on the inside, but the Lord wants you to be well before you can be used. I'm not saying perfection, but there is a state of health and maturity. Get that, maturity, that God wants us to have before we step into certain things. He can use anybody for anything, but sometimes there's a certain sense of maturity before we step into certain areas. When people reject you, before you can move forward in your destiny, you have to shake the dust off. Matthew 10:14 says, and whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake the dust from your feet. You can take things from this season into the next season. And I know you know that, because many of us have done that, taking things from this season into the next season. You can't take remorse and regrets from this season into the next season. You can't allow the enemy to let the dust of guilt, condemnation, and shame keep you in bondage. You need me to repeat that?
Yes.
You cannot take things from this season into the next season. You can't take remorse and regrets from this season into the next season. And we all go from season to season in our life. You can't allow the enemy to let the dust of guilt, condemnation, and shame keep you in bondage. See, You may have messed up or done wrong. We all have. But where sin abounds, grace abounds even more, much more. And you have to refuse to let the enemy rename your destiny. Refuse to let the enemy rename your destiny. You have a lot of stuff to settle on your life that keeps you locked in the past when God has an amazing future for you. Somebody needs to shake the dust of rejection off here today. Who rejected you? God didn't. For some people, it was good that they were rejected. If they had not been rejected, they would have settled for something less. No, it was God's protecting you because he had something greater for you. Does anybody hear me this morning? Watch this. The Apostle Paul said that after being shipwrecked, that a viper came out and bit him. I have a snake that I used to use in Mexico. Don't worry, it's a stuffed snake. This was a poisonous snake. He should have died, and any normal person would have died. He shook the snake off in the fire. Do you remember the story? Yes. Shook the snake off in the fire, but the snake bit him with his mouth. Get it? The snake bit him with his mouth. Whose mouth do you have to shake off of you? The mouth that told you you could never do anything significant? Is that the mouth you have to shake off? The mouth that told you you will never be anything to anybody? The mouth that keeps putting you down? That's not the mouth of God. That's the mouth of the devil. And he wants to hold you hostage. And somebody here today, you need to shed the word curses that have been spoken over you. Yes. Word curses. Generational curses, word curses. Some of you have been held hostage over lies that have been spoken over you and have damaged your character and your reputation because of what they said. And because of what it did to your thought process, your thinking over and over and over and over. And the devil keeps bringing it back to you. It's time to shed it. It's time to shake that dust off. I declare that if God didn't say it over you, it's not who you are. You are not a mistake. You are not a failure. You are not flawed, and you are not messed up. You are God's creation, a child of God, chosen, worthy in his sight. He has a great plan for you. You have to shake this stuff off. You don't have to accept the lies the enemy's whispers in your ears. Today is your day. Today's the day you're going to shake it off. Everything the enemy has tried to hold you back with. So stand to your feet. I want you to lift up those hands. And I want you to start shaking it off. Shake off those lies. Shake off those words. Shake off the past. I declare, say, I declare, I shake it off. I prophesy to myself, I shake it off. Come on, shake it. Shake it. Don't stop. The enemy has tried to keep you bound. Shake it off in the presence of God this morning. Shame, guilt, unworthiness, hardships, struggles, condemnation, lies, slander. Say it. Say it. I will not be held captive. Say it. Anymore. Hear this to me. Hear this morning. On the other side of that shaking, you are an overcomer. You're an overcomer. Let me tell you one thing. When I ministered in Mexico, and I was down in Mexico, and I did women's meetings, and they had a lot of problems. A lot of problems with unfaithfulness for their husbands. And what mess. What a mess. And I would have them shake off those things. Let me tell you, I would walk down the streets in Matehuala, Mexico, and I'd see one of those women, and they'd see me, and all of a sudden their hands would go up and they'd start shaking. So now listen to this. On the other side of shaking, there was a revival that was about to happen in a city. And on the other side of that shaking, God would use Paul and Silas to shake a whole prison for others to be free. That's what we're about to do when we go to the polls. We're going to shake a whole country, the United States of America, for others to be free. Amen. What's on the other side of your shaking? You are an earth shaker, a world changer. On the other side you're shaking is somebody's breakthrough. You probably never thought about that. You get free, you can free others. So Father, today we agree with you that we are unshakable. Come on, say it. Father, today we agree with you that we are unshakable. We are tired of being shaken by the enemy. And we want to step into an unshakable kingdom. So there's another thing we have to do. We have to shake the dust off.
His throne will not be overcome. We've never been forgotten. We're never too far gone. Who lied and told you darkness won? Shake the dust off. Let the fear fall. Turn the light on. Take heart. Take heart, let the praise rise, lift the King high, this is how we fight. Take heart, take heart, shake the dust off.
So I don't know about you guys, but I had a good time doing this message. Good time. Thank you. And you know what? We need to shake the dust off. Go on with our lives. You know, in all the years that I've been ministering, there's so many people that hang on to so many things. Maybe it was a word that somebody said. Maybe it was a family member, maybe it was their friend. You know, just let it go. Shake it off. Shake it off. You can't move forward with God if you hang on to those things that are not of Him. And we are all a chosen people, a royal priesthood. So we need to move on with God. And let me remind you that when you seek God, He's always there to hear and answer your prayers. God will stop on the way for somebody, even who's dying, when He sees your tears, to touch you and then go on His way. Don't ever forget that. God is always with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us.